Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I think we've all agreed the last few days that you don't need to be any hotter right now, right? We can use Will Ferrell for that, as I did at the open of the show.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Scott Jennings is coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Let me talk about the roundtable tomorrow. We'll have Jane Duker on the panel. We will not have a roundtable next Friday, so this will be the last one for a couple of weeks. Next week is the 4th of July. State Rep Steve Butts will be here. James Knowles, the former mayor of Ferguson. I love James. Got to know him quite well. What would that be, I guess, 11 years ago, with the anniversary of that nonsense coming up in August again. And the last time I had him on, I thought to myself, and I said this to Fred a couple of times, you know who would be a great person to have on the roundtable? It would be James Knowles. So he's going to be here. The problem is, and I've described this in the past, we have a lot of people on what I would describe as my side, maybe as a listener, your side of the table. We try to have sane Democrats. Steve Butts is one of those sane Democrats. Jeff Smith is kind of sane. He's kind of insane on some of that. But we do have people that, you know, are in the middle on a lot of these issues, and they're not radicals like the guy who just won the mayor's race. So it's always a little bit easier to, just being honest, when Fred has to book the panel, to find people that are on the conservative side or the Republican side or whatever side you want to call it. And the Democrats, just finding sane Democrats is more of a challenge. So I may even ask James tomorrow, hey, do you have anyone you can bring to the table on the other side? Because sometimes we need that. But Crazy Jane Duker will be here tomorrow. One of the things I think she might be fired up about, and I think Mr. Knowles will have some interesting opinions about this as well. I had the governor on 2 nights ago. I asked him about the appointments to the police commission. 5 white dudes and an African-American woman. I don't like to play the race card, but it did seem that going to the well with all the business leaders, you know, including a car dealer, and Mike Kehoe used to be a car dealer, it didn't seem to be the best selections on the part of the governor. Now, he defended them 2 nights ago on this show. I think Jane and others are a little disappointed. And let's face it, from Jane's perspective, she's one of the people that worked very, very hard in the last couple of years. She represents the police union and the police officers, worked very hard to bring this commission back into, you know, existence, because it went away a long time ago. A lot of us, including me, were on the side that said, look, you know, state control of a local police department, that's silly. Let's have local control. It did not work out. It has not been working out. So this is a way to perhaps improve things in St. Louis. But the question, and we'll address this on the roundtable tomorrow, is was it a miss a little bit on the part of the governor? He stands by it. We'll have that discussion tomorrow afternoon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Also, all the regular stuff for Friday. Paul Hall will be here. Cusimano. We have Susan L. Ward on the show tomorrow as well, because I saw this story. It was in the Wall Street Journal. The Bezos wedding is this weekend. Sue mentioned that. There was a story about the prenups of the super wealthy, which was fascinating, and Susan will address that. Okay, Jennings just around the corner here, but let me kind of lead into this with some audio, because on the CNN panel a couple of nights ago, there was a debate in the aftermath of the attack on Iran. The president was asked a couple of different questions that were specific, and he simply said, I do not know the answer. So Neera Tanden, who also, by the way, was featured on a committee hearing yesterday on Capitol Hill dealing with the auto pen issue, was on the CNN panel with Jennings, and here's the exchange.
It is pretty inexcusable that he has not been briefed and he can't speak to it.
And what's worse, a president not having all the information he needs to make a legitimate comment, so he holds back in the moment before being ready to make a comment, or, I don't know, willfully lying to the American people about the condition of the President of the United States, which went on for 4 years in this country by all of your colleagues.
That is totally wrong. That is totally wrong. That is totally wrong.
I hope you read all the books that are coming out. I hope you read all the books that are coming out.
I thought that was an excellent point by Jennings, but they did not let up on him.
I mean, I don't know if you're a judge.
That Trump is exhibiting some, I want to get more facts. And I'm going to be lectured by the people who lied to the American people about the condition of the president?
Oh, my God.
No way.
No, but
not going to take it.
That's first of all, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. Yes, it is.
You think
I did
the
not
truth
lie.
Was told? You think the truth was told?
I will say.
Did the White House tell the truth?
I will look forward to this discussion.
So Scott, you all believe the truth was told about Biden?
Scott, do you want government or do you want your lick back? Because even if all of that happened in the past, we're in the present now. So we need a president that is capable.
And so what? He said, I don't know. What did it hurt your life that he said, I don't know?
Biden did it.
Sure, I can. Of course I can.
For 4 years.
I absolutely can.
The country to move on.
I 100% can.
You cannot.
Biden wrote it for 4 years on Trump, and Obama wrote it for 8 years on George W. Bush. You're damn right.
We were 8 years. Exactly. Scott Jennings with us this afternoon. Fine job on that, as always. How are you?
I'm great. I love revisiting that because the voice you heard there was Neera Tanden, who your listeners may have seen testifying before Congress because she was, quote, the queen of the auto pen. Neera, one of the nastiest partisans in Washington, D.C., was given control of the auto pen as staff secretary during the Biden years. And, you know, we caught her absolutely lying through her teeth right there on CNN. I was glad to hold her to account.
Yeah, I love that you call her the queen of the auto pen. And I played one of the cuts yesterday. She had just testified like yesterday before oversight, hadn't she?
Yeah, and thank goodness Congressman Jamie Comer from Kentucky, head of oversight, called her in because, you know, she was, look, if you believe what I believe, which is that the president was not fully in control of the country or the White House, you know, she's the one running things through the auto pen. And, you know, what does she know about how this country was run and whether it was done unconstitutionally? I'm glad they brought her in, and I hope they're not done with it.
So part of the the narrative this week has been some of the CNN reporting, your outlet. So I don't know if this is delicate for you or not, but obviously the president and the defense secretary and the secretary of state did not take kindly to some of the reporting from CNN, also in the New York Times, that kind of buried. They went with the latter part of the narrative instead of the, maybe primary part of the narrative. They lead, and this is what the media does. You highlight this all the time. But thoughts on the CNN aspect, as much as you can say, Scott.
Well, look, it appears what happened is that this Defense Intelligence Agency at the Pentagon wrote a report and sent it over to Congress, which they do sometimes. And the report itself said it was low confidence and preliminary. Then, apparently, Democrat members of Congress leaked the report or selective portions of it to CNN and the New York Times, and then they then chose to publish that information. And so it was an attempt to create a narrative that the mission failed. And now what we know from the CIA, from Israel, from the International Atomic Agency, from every other single source is that the mission was, just as Trump said, a complete success. And so when Trump, by the way, took some flack for not briefing members of Congress before he launched the mission, I said, well, you probably didn't want it to leak. I mean, this is sensitive information. And now you see why, because there are members of Congress and there are people in the bureaucracy, in the government, who want to try to hurt Donald Trump in any way possible, even if it means demeaning what we're doing on the international stage. This is a despicable moment. I think the truth is now out, but you can see when you're Donald Trump, you can expect the bureaucracy, the deep state, and the media will work together to try to destroy you by creating false narratives. It's awful. It's political garbage.
Yeah, and it makes it even harder. This is where, you know, I even have some difficulty because in the aftermath of something like this, I'm looking for information. I think a lot of people are looking for information. And I got a lot of that on Saturday night. It was interesting because I watched CNN on Saturday night. I wanted to see what the narrative was there. And it seemed like they were struggling. Now, I've made the point, maybe does Fox cheerlead a little bit too much for the president? Maybe they do. I can maybe meet you in the middle there. But there was no effort to give credit where credit was due in the initial coverage here. And then in the follow-up, when they go with the leaked report, this is what makes people not trust the legacy media.
Well, look, if you look at the most recent Gallup polling on trusted media, it's at a 5-decade low. And this is why. Because instead of telling us the truth or instead of collecting all the information, they try to cherry pick information or selectively give you things or make up narratives out of whole cloth, all to drive a political wedge. And the wedge here is always, how do we make Donald Trump look bad? I mean, look, there were more than a handful, I think, of media people and Democrat pundit talking head types who were hoping this mission would fail, who were hoping that American service members would be injured or worse. I firmly believe that. And they were disappointed that it went off without a hitch. And so in the wake of that disappointment, now they're only left with trying to spin it that it somehow wasn't a success. It was a complete success. And you don't drop that kind of ordinance on sensitive devices and expect them to be working correctly the next day. I mean, that's just sort of lunacy. And, you know, I think that's what this was here, a leak of top secret information, which is illegal, to just try to hurt the president, which is very wrong. I hope they find whoever leaked it, and I hope they prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law.
Let me take you back to Neera Tanden and the auto pen, because this is a broader point as well. In all the coverage, if you go to the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, and I do this every day, you're not seeing any reference to that oversight committee hearing. I still happen to believe, and I get that the news cycle is busy right now. It always is busy with Donald Trump. But I still happen to believe that that's an important, you know, question to keep asking. How much or who the hell was in charge for 4 years? I guess there's something that happened today where somebody close to Dr. Jill was supposed to testify, and then they pulled out at the last minute. But even with the Oversight Committee holding hearings, it ain't getting any coverage, right?
No. Well, of course they don't want to talk about it, because it makes them look stupid to talk about it, right? I mean, for 4 years, anybody with a functioning brain, eyes, and ears could see that the president was incapacitated. And something was amiss, and the media was complicit in it. And so to talk about it now, of course, reinforces how stupid or how participatory they were in this scandal. Look, at best, this was unconstitutional. At worst, it was illegal. And we really need to find out what happened here. I mean, how many people called the phrase the big lie after the 2020 election and what happened in that? I heard that phrase a million times on TV.
Yeah.
What would you call this? I mean, to me, this is 1,000 times worse, and we need to get to the bottom of it, because it clearly was a violation of the way our country is supposed to be run under our Constitution.
What is your thought on the, you know, I have heard, and this is, again, goes to the issue of trust of the media. It is difficult to know, and I now know there's more information about how successful this was. I played some audio earlier from, I guess his name is Dan Raising Cain. I like that a lot, the chair of the Joint Chiefs, where we think that a lot of this was decimated. We have the Ayatollah coming out today saying, you know, no, Trump says something, we're fine. I don't know what the next step is in diplomacy, because we had the ceasefire, then Trump got pissed at the ceasefire. Where do we go from here on this to hold Iran accountable? And let's face it, we've been trying to do this since you were in the Bush White House 20 years ago, if not longer.
Well, look, as long as the Ayatollah and the mullahs are in charge of Iran, they're never going to stop trying to effectively bring about the end of the world. That's what their ideology is. Let's get a nuclear weapon and let's blow up Israel and the United States, because that will hasten the apocalypse. I mean, that's effectively what they believe. So as long as they're in charge, they're not a normal country, and they won't negotiate like a normal country. Now, what we've done and what Israel has done has essentially defanged them. We've taken away their ability to make nuclear weapons. Their terror proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, they've been severely diminished by what Israel has done since October the 7th. So they're in a weakened state. So if you want to enter into negotiations, fine. I wouldn't have high expectations for it because of who's in charge. But at least you're negotiating with someone here who you've taken away most of their teeth and claws, and they're in a weakened position. We have leverage here, to the extent you can ever have leverage with a bunch of, you know, religious fanatics who'd like to bring about the end of the world. So where we go from here, hopefully the peace deal holds. Hopefully you get some kind of deal where, you know, you don't have constant fighting. But I'll tell you one thing that cannot happen. You cannot allow them to reconstitute Hamas and the other terror proxies. Israel should not be forced to live with those fanatics and lunatics.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Murderers and rapists on their borders.
Scott, I have not spoken with you since you were stuck in Israel a couple of weeks ago. So tell me that story, because, and by the way, I spread a rumor that you were maybe dating Caitlyn Jenner, because there was a headline that included both you and Caitlyn Jenner stuck in Israel at the same time. Mm-hmm. How harrowing was that? You were essentially one of the reporters on the scene when some of these rockets were falling a couple of weeks ago.
Couple things. Number one, you'll be hearing from my attorneys. Number two, it was wild. I mean, I was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee the night it started, and I've got Israeli fighter jets going over my head east and Iranian missiles coming over my head headed west. And I mean, I've never seen anything like it, you know, and watching the missile intercepts take place in the night sky. I mean, I watched dozens and dozens of intercepts, and watching the debris rain down, feeling the concussive blasts that come from some of those interception things. The missile defense is a miracle. I mean, it's amazing what they're able to do to protect Israel with this Iron Dome and the other missile defense technologies, which, by the way, the United States has helped develop and deploy there. And they need it because, obviously, they're facing this from Iran. They're facing it from Hezbollah. They're facing it from the Houthis. I mean, these Israelis are facing rocket fire and terrorist action every day. I mean, they live with it in their homes and in their neighborhoods and in their cities every single day. We tend to watch these things on television. They're watching it in their own night sky. So it was a wild trip. I'm glad I went. By the way, I met with Ambassador Mike Huckabee, who is our ambassador to Israel. That was the best ambassador pick that Donald Trump made. He knows that country. He's been going there since the early 70s. He loves the people in Israel, and they love him. And so we've got the right man on the ground for U.S. diplomacy in the region.
So were you just originally just planning on going to visit and to visit the embassy, and then, you know, all hell started breaking out? Is that basically what happened?
I went to visit the country for the first time. I had never been, and I was going to tour some sites related to October the 7th, which I did. I went to the Gaza border. I went to the Nero's kibbutz. I went to the site of the Nova Music Festival. I made it to the border with Lebanon. So, you know, I went to see some of that, and then all hell broke loose. And so some of my, like, the more touristy part of my trip quickly got cut short. But what I really went to do was explore the atrocities of October the 7th, which I largely was able to complete. And what happened to those Israelis and those poor farmers and those poor kids at the Nova Music Festival and other places on October the 7th is an absolute outrage. People in the West have been told a bunch of crap lies about the nature of this issue in Gaza and what's going on there and why it's happening. But I'm telling you, I saw it for myself. What was done to these people, not just that they were murdered and taken hostage, something people don't want to talk about, the sexual atrocities that were committed against the women and some of the men at that Nova Music Festival. Absolute savagery and barbarism took place on that day, and Israel is fully justified in fighting these people and killing every last terrorist. You can't live with this kind of barbarism on your border. You can't live with it. And I think October the 7th, although tragic, will go down as, you know, ultimately the day where Israel said, enough is enough. We're going to take care of this problem once and for all, and we need to allow them to do it.
And how about the way that they did it with the, you know, the Trojan horse scenario was pretty impressive, I would say.
Oh, my gosh. What the Mossad did and having people in Iran and the coordinated effort with the military and the intelligence community, and I think also the deception that went on, which I think Donald Trump was clearly a part of. I mean, it was a really intricate operation, and Iran really didn't know what to do about it. You know, they were able to fire missiles, and most of those were intercepted. But, you know, they've taken out their entire senior military leadership, their entire senior nuclear scientist corps. I mean, all the people that make decisions about the terrorism were essentially killed. And now all their deputies are in charge, and even some of their deputies have been killed. So, you know, Israel here deserved a chance to do this, and they really need to be allowed to finish the job, at least on the terror proxies, because, you know, you just can't live with Hamas. I'm sorry. These are never going to be good neighbors, and every single last one of them needs to be killed, and hopefully we can get the hostages back. There's still like 20 hostages being held that are alive, I think 30 that are thought to be dead. So there's still people to bring home.
Well,
and this war's not over yet.
I'm going to have to disagree with you because the perhaps the next mayor of New York City believes exactly the opposite, cheerleading Hamas, anti-Israel, right? How about that guy?
If you go and look at what statement he issued on October the 8th, it is one of the most despicable things. The inability to acknowledge the murder, the rape, the torture that went on October the 7th and blaming Israel for October the 7th. I feel sorry for New York City, but in some ways, I don't really feel sorry for the Democratic Party. This is what they have wrought on themselves. The coddling of this Free Palestine movement, which is nothing more than a domestic terror organization, by the way, designed to bring about the downfall of the West, the downfall of the United States. The coddling of this and the courting of this, they deserve this. The Democrats deserve this, and they deserve every political thing coming to them by elevating some lunatic like this guy.
In the meantime, we always talk baseball because you're a huge Cardinals fan. We got to get you back here to a game soon enough. Look, it wasn't looking good a couple of weeks ago. It seemed like that time that you and Joe Arnold came in on that Sunday, that magical game that felt like a playoff game, that was maybe one of the peaks earlier this summer. Then they had a little bit of a slide. Then they win 5 in a row. They fought pretty hard against the Cubs this week. There's no doubt about that. But this is going to be an interesting race to watch the rest of this summer and the rest of the season for sure.
You know, they've been a little streaky, and they showed some fight and some pluck luck against the Cubs, who, you know, have been really good this year. The 8-0 loss, I feel personally responsible for, because after we won the first two games, I sent about 25 text messages and gifts taunting David Axelrod.
Oh, yeah.
and I said, I told him at the end of the chain, I'm probably going to cause us to lose the next game. So I'm sorry. I'm responsible for the 8-0 loss, because I could not stop taunting him, and I could not stop taunting Pete Crow Armstrong, who Axelrod loves,
that?
But who made the most boneheaded game. I mean, it was a game-deciding boneheaded
yes.
play the other night. And I'm going to Chicago next week. I'm taking my family to Wrigley for two of the three games over the 4th of July weekend. So I hope the momentum continues into Chicago next week. I'd love to see the Cardinals move into first place at Wrigley Field. That'd be sweet if that worked out that
well,
way.
Well, that Pete Crow Armstrong play, I played the audio, so that was quite something. I mean, that guy, as good as he is, that was a bonehead move. And how about the base running by Mason Winn? It was really impressive. So the Cardinals still showing, you know, a lot of spark right now. Newt Barr's bat is heating up a bit. And you're right, that series next weekend, I think, is going to be fantastic. So enjoy that. I'm glad you're back safely, because I bet that was a little bit more daunting in Israel than you were even letting on this afternoon. I can't imagine the family was pleased with that, but I'm glad you got out safely and back home.
Yeah, I ended up smuggling myself over the Jordanian border, which is quite a story. We'll tell it another day, but I flew home from Amman, and I'm glad for the experience. But yes, it was a little harrowing, and I'm glad to be back in the good old U.S. of A.
Good Lord. All right, there's another book. You can write a whole book probably on that. Thanks, Jennings. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Reardon.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.